Jesus Christ was, in a theological sense, the chosen one, but recently became the subject of choice in a different way when, through an ITV1 talent show, The Lord, Andrew Lloyd Webber, chose Ben Forster to play the title role in a new production of Jesus Christ Superstar. This updated version of the musical that Lloyd Webber wrote with Tim Rice 40 years ago will play in rock arenas around the UK. Ben Forster, lacking the healing powers of his character, was unwell today and preserving his energies for the first night. But three of his co-stars came into our studio. Chris Moyles, recently retired as host of the Radio 1 breakfast show, is King Herod, while Melanie Chisholm, formerly known as Spice Girl Mel C, is Mary Magdalene. With Tim Minchin, whose own Roald Dahl musical Matilda has had Lloyd Webber-esque success, as Judas. None of the performers was born when Jesus Christ Superstar was premiered in the early 1970s. So how did they come to know the show, Mel C?
I think the first time I ever heard the show was my mum's vinyl, which she had, like I think probably most of parents of my generation had. And I used to play that and also seeing the film on TV. So that was my first experience of the show.
Ah, Tim.
Yeah, my folks had the vinyl and it was my only experience of the show for years. And then I saw it on stage, but don't really remember it. Must have been about 10. Didn't see the movie until I was 20 or something, and am therefore not particularly interested in it because I'm completely addicted to the original recording, and anything that strays from that kind of upsets me. So if I'm emulating any previous performer, it's Murray Head from the original. And Ian Gillan's Jesus. I was a huge Deep Purple fan as well, so it all linked in.
Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, matter more than your feet and hair.
And it's unusual, that album, because it was more common in those days, but the album was released before it was a stage show.
Without even particularly having intention to be a stage show, it was a concept album. I suppose, I think they had it in the back of their heads that it could be, but in fact, what they thought is that it should be an arena rock show once they got the thing done, and it's never happened in
which it now is
London until now. Yeah.
And Chris, were you school trip from the north? Did you come to see Jesus Christ Superstar?
No, I'd never seen it before. My only real connection was I remember my mum singing Georgie Best Superstar. That was my introduction to it, which as a Leeds fan was not particularly helpful. But I'm not the biggest musicals fan. I like music from musicals, but I don't like musicals per se. So I'm kind of like the odd one out. I'm just been blown away by it. I kind of think I've been missing something for all my 24 years on the planet. I'm now a little bit obsessed with it.
And you all had connections with the good Lord in different ways, didn't you? Because you'd interviewed Lloyd Webber, hadn't you, I think?
Yeah, he'd been on the radio show, which was quite bizarre. And I naturally assumed he had no idea who I was. And there are conversations we often have now where I often think that. But he does. Yeah, well, you know what he's like. But he didn't know that I'd sung before, so...
So what happened? He listened to one of your recordings, did he?
As I'm aware, the conversation was along the lines of they didn't know who was going to play Herod, and my name was mentioned by a couple of people that worked with Andrew. And Andrew, God love him, surprisingly went, I think that's a marvellous idea. Could he do it? Would he do it? And I said, he can sing. I mean, I said yes straight away.
And Timmy took you out to lunch after you became a successful musical composer, didn't he, Lloyd Webber?
Yeah, well, we stuck Matilda in one of the theatres he owns, so I guess he had a reason to like me. And I think he liked the piece as well.
He has said so, yeah.
Yeah, it's very different from his work. And obviously I'm a lyricist, so it's a sort of different game. And we had this really nice lunch. It was reasonably relaxed and stuff and just chewing the fat. And at one point during lunch, I sort of dropped that I've been trying to play Judas for 15 years, having understudied it a couple of times in Perth, West Australia, in amateur productions as a kid. Ever since anyone's taken any notice of me, I've been going, oh, maybe this is my way into playing Judas.
As an understudy, did you ever get on?
Never got on, because in amateur there's no sort of contractual obligation to give me a bash at it. So, but it's a scary role. I see myself as a vocalist a long way down the list of things I do, and it's a scary role, but I understand the role and I understand the genre, and I have strong thoughts about how it needs to be portrayed, and so I've sort of carried this around with me I don't think you took me seriously at all. I mean, there's a million people out there who want to play Judas. This is one of those roles that especially muso types get a bit obsessed by because it's so rocky and emotional. And then eventually I went and saw the opening of the New York version, which is now closed, and sitting there watching it, I thought, I can do this. I should follow up on that. So I sent him an email saying I was serious about that Judas thing. And by then they had actually cast someone else, but then that fell over and a lot of lucky things happened and my schedule and everything, and I'm doing it now. And I'm doing it, you know. A part of me always thought I want to do it, but I don't think I can. I mean, it's just too high and too crazy, but it seems to be working.
And he gets through lyricists quite quickly in his career, Lord Lloyd Webber. So is the deal that you have to write the lyrics for his next show?
I don't know. That might break our relationship.
And Mel, you were a more obvious choice in the sense that you'd done theatre before, but how did you get chosen?
Well, you know, I've only actually done one show professionally, but it's
Blood
something
Brothers.
Yeah, I did Blood Brothers for 6 months in the West End, and it's something that's been a love of mine through growing up, of all of Lloyd Webber's work, and of course growing up in the 80s he was the king, as he remains, of British musical theatre. And I actually studied at Performing Arts College at the age of 19 for 3 years, so it was kind of the career path that I was trying to take with this little fantasy that I'd quite like to be a pop star, actually. And yeah, bizarrely that all kind of happened, and the musical theatre part of my life was left behind, and so it was really nice to rediscover that. And then having such a fantastic time at the Phoenix with Blood Brothers, and we got great reviews and nominations for awards, and it was so well received. It was incredible, and I think that's really opened the door, and people like Andrew Lloyd Webber noticed me from that, so it was fantastic to have this opportunity.
Last week I came to this aircraft hangar in Acton in London, and you were rehearsing, and it's the biggest stage I've ever seen. It's quite terrifying. There are this huge set of steps,
yeah.
And you not only have to think about that, but you have to think about where the cameras are. So, I mean, you're, say, more experienced performer on stage probably, but it's quite a lot to adjust to, isn't it, Chris?
I'm very lucky I have one song. And that song
proved to me that you're no fool, walk across my swimming pool.
Yeah, and it's a great track with ridiculously camp, hilarious lyrics. It's obviously not the most serious song in the entire show. So I'm lucky I get to play with the cameras in the modern day interpretation of the story is that I'm like a TV host.
Lord or fraud is the question they ask.
Yeah, that's the one. I get to kind of strut around the stage playing the big I am, but the size of it, the size of the stage is huge. So, and because we're playing arenas, the visual aspect of it has to be very clear and massive.
Although there are risks with the cameras, Mel. I was sitting at the back with the techies, and you gave this stonking rendition of I Don't Know How to Love Him, and then there was this alarm at one moment that you might do what's known in the trade as a Sharon Stone inadvertently, because the...
Are we on Radio 4?
There was an unfortunate camera angle, at which point you were told to keep your legs together.
Thank you for bringing that up. I think it's very important, especially with a piece like this, which is very emotional. You don't want to be having to think about flashing bits and bobs in the throes of performing.
But the serious side was that you have to think about that. You're not just performing on this massive stage, but you have to think about, yeah, as Chris says, the cameras as well.
I have to pick up Tim on being super modest in not classing himself as a vocalist, because his vocal performance in this show is outstanding.
It's a fantastic role, Judas, as you suggested earlier, but whereas anyone who plays Jesus, they have to worry about people photographing them having a cigarette out the back and all that, and they have to be kind of pure and everything, you can be as nasty as you want. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. And I don't know, early on in this rehearsal period, I'd sort of say things when we're discussing the text. I'd say things like, well, Jesus is totally whiny and self-obsessed and death-obsessed and messianic, and he's getting too big for his boots, and everyone sort of laugh. And I'm like, no, in this show, he is. I totally believe my character's in the right. in this show. And that's the incredible thing about this interpretation of the famous story, is that it starts with Judas and ends the first act with Judas, starts the second act with Judas, ends the show with Judas. It's he's the protagonist. He's not the lead, but he's the narrator through which we're seeing the story and all his frustrations with Jesus getting wrapped up in his superstardom instead of helping the poor and the things that I care about. And then for me to be driven by his absolute lack of communication and having tantrums and hanging out with prostitutes, driven to dob him in, and then am so guilt-ridden that I kill myself. I mean, it's like I have absolute sympathy for these characters, and I do think Jesus in this was a bit annoying. So it's quite fun for me, and that's the miracle of the piece, right? I'm not the baddie.
Well, you're too young, but it was incredibly controversial when it first came out. It's partly for the reason that some people objected that Judas was in effect the star. As you know, Mel, that song appears to suggest that they may have had a sexual relationship, Mary Magdalene and Jesus. Have you had to address that in rehearsal? Have you?
I think we really need to leave that to the people watching, you know, to make up their own mind. I think that's something that is still unanswered, really. It's a great role, actually. I think it's something that so many women can identify with, you know. Particularly in this production, I have a big leather jacket on, I have these dreadlocks, and I start the show with quite heavy makeup, and it's pretty much her armour, it's her protection. And the relationship she has with Jesus, you know, not a sexual thing, just, you know, the friendship and the love that he shows her really makes her very confident about herself, and that kind of strips away all of this armour. So I think there are times in life when you do meet a guy that kind of knocks you off your feet, and then sometimes, you know, someone that makes you feel really good about yourself. So I think it's something you can draw, you know, upon.
Melanie Chisholm, Tim Minchin and Chris Moyles, who were heard in rehearsals for the arena tour of Jesus Christ Superstar, which opens on Friday at the O2 in London and goes on to cities including Glasgow, Cardiff, Newcastle, Liverpool, Belfast and Sheffield. Details on our website.